feet. Everybody had matching towels. Somebody went under a dock, and there they saw a rock. It wasn't a rock. It was a rock.
Hat.
No, you're pretty good at that.
Have you trained Link personally?
I am Link. Oh shit! I just talked.
That Link would never speak.
I'm sorry.
He would only yell and...
I'm not Link.
Oh, yep. Are you Zelda?
No, I'm actually the Link from those Philips CDI games.
The Link from Philips Gas. Link between the gas.
What hey, guys. It? What's going on? Welcome to the newest episode of the Horrible Podcast. I'm your host, Devin Arnold, and I'm here with my favorite co-host. We've got Manton. How you doing, Manton? I'm pretty good, buddy. I'm having a really great time. That's awesome, bud. How are you doing, Brandon? Bluester?
Thank you, Devin Tron. Devton. I'm doing really well. I've had a great weekend. Lots of sleeping.
All right, that's enough of that. Dylan?
Yeah, I'm already regretting giving you host duties.
I know. I'm sorry. Hey, everyone. I fucked it up big time, but Devin is out of town right now. So tonight, I'm going to be your host. I'm not prepared. I'm not ready for any of this. Wait,
they might be confused as to who you are. You just said you're Devin, but that's not true.
Well, they heard my voice when I also spoke as Manton, but yeah, that's me too. If you guys don't know, if you didn't listen to last week's episode, one, shame on you, but two, Devin is out of town. He's doing some kind of summer camp thing. I'm surprised they let him in.
He's fucking murdered.
Well, he's way past the age of a summer camp child. I don't know how he got in.
He snuck in, actually.
He's actually not in charge of anything. He's
forged
just going
his documents.
To camp.
Yeah, so I haven't planned any of this. I know Devin usually does the spiel about selling all of our social medias to you. So we're on Twitter, we're on email, but most importantly, we're on Patreon. Usually he'll say something here about getting your money, which, you know, I agree with it. I would like it too.
We like money.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are on Patreon. Just search for Horrible Cast, Horrible Podcast, excuse me. But yeah, you'll find us. Tonight we have a pretty interesting episode for you. Mm-hmm. We've got three water-based creatures theme. Is that our theme? What the fuck is our
theme? I don't
really
know, but okay, so Devin is at Lake Placid. His summer camp is on the literal Lake Placid. So one of our movies is, if you guessed, it's Lake Placid. It's it's Lake Placid.
I'll be honest to the listeners. I'm on the episode and I didn't even get that.
Yeah,
so thank you,
Dylan,
for clearing that up.
Yeah, we just watched that. And then we just...
We're going to also review Open Water and
The Shallows
for you.
Mm-hmm. So like, you know, small bodies of water or like shallow bodies of water. Maybe that's the theme.
What's wrong with big bodies, Dylan?
Look, I'm not, you know, shaming anybody here.
Exactly. Okay. No size shame here.
All bodies are equal. But we're just looking at the little ones right now.
So Devin's not here. There's no rules. Like, we could talk
just
about
right. Outback Steakhouse.
I just want to point out that the man has said Devin is not here like at least five times already.
We're still reeling from it. He was actually supposed to be on this one, but like last minute, they apparently wouldn't let him not go to.
I think
like,
they put a curfew on the count or on the children in the camp, so he couldn't be on.
Yeah.
Looked like what's that guy? He's in a movie. Fuck, he's got the shirt.
The guy in the movie with his shirt.
He's, man, he's like, hey kids, I'm a kid, and it says like a metal band on his shirt.
It reminds me of
it's
that
Steve Buscemi
Adam Sandler
in
movie.
30 Rock. Hey, fellow kids.
Know. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, but I keep picturing him as Paul Rudd from Wet Hot American Summer, just going nice. About everything, and that he's just like the shittiest counselor there. Until he tells me otherwise, that's what I choose to believe.
Perfect.
I like it a lot. So you know what? I know Devin likes to talk about all kinds of emails and stuff, and we're going to do that. But instead, this time, I want to go straight into a review.
I like that.
That's what I want to do.
Okay. All right.
So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to say let's review you guys want to go with The Shallows first?
You seem really indecisive about this.
I am.
Lead us.
You know what? Fuck it. We're going to go with The Shallows.
There we go.
This came out somewhat recently, right? I mean, we saw it all in theaters a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Came out. So let's have a synopsis from Brandon.
Oh, whoa. I don't understand how to respond to my own actual name. So I only go by Bluester. So this is Bluester for those of you. So The Shallows, it just came out in theaters. And what's the name of the girl? Blake Lively?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you that are Blake Lively fans, like my girlfriend, this is a huge seller. That's like the main thing. Blake Lively's in it. You got to see it.
Doesn't matter that there's a shark. There's Blake Lively.
Whoa, there's a shark?
Well,
I just
sorry.
Remember Blake Lively.
My bad.
And she is mostly naked in the movie. So if you like half-naked people, I guess that's a selling point, and especially Blake Lively. So whatever. Even my own girlfriend had to admit that she was a pretty nice looking lady. So anyway, Blake Lively's character, she comes to, I believe it's Mexico, and she's here on vacation with her younger sister, or she's with a partner, I guess.
It's a friend, I think.
I think it's a friend. Yeah. You're right. I'm sorry. So she goes here and she's kind of looking at pictures of her mother, and she's like, oh man, you know, I love her. And she sees that she's on this secret beach, and her mother had told her stories about this great place. It's beautiful. She needs to fucking go there when she comes of age. And so she's like, you know what? I'm going to seek it out. No one even knows the name of this beach. No one knows where it is. But she manages to get like a local guy, and he kind of knows the mystery of this beach that she's talking about. So he takes her there, and she's, you know, just kind of reminiscing about her family and stuff. It's really cute. So she gets to this beach and she sees these two hot surfers dudes shredding up the waves. And she's like, you know what? I'm a surfer girl. These are surfer dudes. Let's go surfing out there. Well, sure enough, she's out there surfer girling it up. And of course, we wouldn't have a horror movie without some horrible creature. So she gets kind of stuck out there. And very quickly, we realize that she is in danger. She's in trouble. But also, there's a lot more to this story. She's having a metaphorical or symbolic battle with her inner self.
Well, that's very true, actually.
Out on the water. So what do you guys think about The Shallows?
The first that I heard about this movie, I heard that the Alamo Drafthouse was doing something that sounds really fucking cool. Oh, it was called a dive-in, where essentially you would go there, and they had this movie screened in like a giant pool, and you would sit in these rafts,
which is raw,
and watch this. And I think they did Jaws as well.
Yeah, dude, I heard about Jaws.
And I can only imagine, like,
sounds great.
After watching the movie, especially, that sounds great.
Well, especially after this whole week of movies, like especially Open Waters, we'll talk about that. But
yeah.
Speaking of the Alamo Drafthouse, I was just in Austin. I walked by this beautiful establishment.
Shit. And you didn't go into the dive-in?
We didn't go in.
You idiot.
We didn't even go in. We drunkenly stumbled across the street and looked at it. And a little bit of a tear went down. We're like, oh.
It's for the best. From what I've heard about, you know, Austin, I'm glad you guys didn't go in there and make fools of yourselves.
Dude, Austin is an amazing city with so many beautiful young people. It doesn't feel real.
And you just made fools of yourself everywhere else.
No, I'm from Kentucky, man.
No,
I'm not beautiful.
Are you beautiful?
No, I'm absolutely not beautiful. I'm not a young person. I'm a freak. They immediately saw me and like, this guy is a hill person. He doesn't belong here.
What, a hobbit?
They would seriously like truck. I think that they must have been creating these people off camera, like off scene from Austin. They would just truck them in huge buses, and beautiful people would just come out of the bus. You're like, what is this? In Kentucky, you're just like, if someone has all their limbs, they're normal.
That's how I felt in Charleston too.
Yeah,
honestly.
Charleston's like that too. It's beautiful.
I'm done with your all's vacations here. I want to talk about The Shallows, but like, speaking of beautiful people, like when I saw the preview for this one, I did not give it the time of day. I was like, it's kind of dumb, honestly. Like the preview is just like, you know, there's going to be a giant shark and Blake Lively, and I was like, this looks stupid. The tagline is, "What was once in the deep is now in the shallows." They couldn't come up with anything better than that.
It's very like lame and thin.
It is, and yet as soon as the movie started, I was like, oh fuck, I was wrong.
Okay, well, so I think this movie gets a little bit of credit from the get-go, because I mean, I almost hate to bring it up, but the title bump is good.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about those a lot, and I feel like that kind of is like your first impression of the film.
Is.
And it's a very classy little title opening, and I liked it.
It can be like just a really smart, depending on the movie, like Cloverfield Lane did a great job of it.
Yeah.
It can either grip you or it can kind of set the tone. And in this movie, it just kind of like gets you interested. But I think, I don't know anything about Blake Lively, but I mean, she seems like a pretty competent, you know, young
She's
lady.
She's good in this.
She's
very
good, yeah.
And like from the moment when the screen starts rolling, you just see her and you're already kind of like, okay, I just want to listen to her. And
it matters because it is basically a one woman show in this case. And we say that about a lot of movies, that it becomes a one woman or one man show. In this one, it really is. Like, it's just Blake Lively and a shark.
Well, and there's a bird,
almost
too.
The entire time. The bird, best supporting actor.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an adorable little seagull.
I want to start out with the beginning of the film. We have already from the beginning, we have some sort of strange, not necessarily bad, but odd editing and choices regarding what's on screen.
Are you talking about the phone?
Yeah. So,
I really like that.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk. I was kind of indifferent about it,
I guess.
When she's on her phone, she's hitchhiking, and there's a man named Carlos, I guess, that is taking her to this beach that she's wanting to go to because she has a connection with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's got pictures of her mother, and she's scrolling through and looking at these old pictures from her mom, and we're kind of seeing those, and they're presented on the side of the screen as
sort
of
like a pop-up.
Floating like Instagram sort of thing.
And it's very interesting. And at first,
it
took me out of it at first, but actually it works really well. And we see her text messages and stuff, but it's happening simultaneously while the action is going on.
It doesn't take you out of it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like how we sort of utilize that technology.
I think they use that best probably in the scene where she's like video Skyping with her dad and her sister.
And I feel like the beginning is a setup for that.
And it feels like that portion, like you get a lot of really interesting angles and everything. It's actually really good filmmaking the way that they do it. And it feels really real because it's like choppy, like a Skype image would be, you know, all the way on that beach and wherever she is.
I do think that kind of brings up a point of there are definitely some things in this movie that are require you to sort of suspend your disbelief quite a bit. But it's doesn't always take you out of it. Like, I don't believe that she'd have signal there. Like, I don't have signal when I drive out to the fucking
edge of the back of my house.
It's in service to the action and to the movie.
It's okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Speaking of like little details, she comes up to the beach and we learn while she's in the car, I believe, that she is a medical student, but she's kind of having trouble staying in school and she's having some tension with her family about that. And so this is kind of like a finding herself kind of journey, which is hilarious because she, you know, so much stuff happens. But anyway, so when she gets to the beach, she's going out for a surf and it shows the process of her getting ready to go surfing. And I fucking love that little montage.
It's cool
because it shows that she is extremely like detail and like methodical and process oriented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like as things happen later in the movie and she has to start to kind of go into survival mode. It doesn't feel as crazy. Right.
It's earned, absolutely.
She seems ready, and she's medical student, so.
It is very convenient, like, plot convenient. Oh, she's a medical student. But it is, at the same time, it's like, at least they're kind of giving you an explanation, whereas a lot of movies just expect you to just believe that this person is good at these
Sometimes
things.
Sometimes that little detail is all you need.
Well, it's something like we see in Your Next when, you know, they set up, again, bringing up Your Next, but they set up, you know, the survival colony bit with her. Like, it can just be a throwaway line or just an aside, but, like, everything that is introduced early in this movie does pay off in some way. And
which is good.
And it really, like, she is a full-fledged character. I was impressed by that. Like, she really does feel real.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm curious, like, you know, we've talked a lot about this movie, and I think before Matt and I saw it, Devin had seen it a little earlier than we did.
Were you choking up by saying Devin? You're crying because he's not on today.
No,
I just had a little bit of gas going on. I'm sorry.
Devin does induce that in people,
but indigestion. But no, Dylan and Devin were really talking this movie up, and so we were going in, and you know, for the most part, I think this movie was really strong for me. But do you all have any points that you think were weak?
Well, I still want to talk about strong because we haven't talked about the fucking shark yet, which
is what about the shark?
Impressive. But the shark looks good as fuck in this movie. It is a really convincing, like, mix CGI practical.
Did you see much practical?
But I don't know that there is much practical.
The whale was practical.
Yet the way that the CGI is shot is really pretty ingenious in this one. I think it works given the parameters and given like the angles that they use. And I'm like, it's a very real feeling threat in this movie.
Speaking of practical versus digital, the whole reason that she kind of gets in the situation is she's in this little cove. It's a very small beach. And she swims out to this like whale that's in distress because it's like kind of beached on the reef, I guess. So she swims up and she's like, oh, shit.
Well, I think he's floating in the water.
The shark had gotten to it already.
Well, well, she doesn't know about the shark. So she sees this whale and it's all cut up. And she's like, damn, you know, I feel really bad. And all of a sudden a shark attacks her. And so the whale, it looks really cool. It's this massive like prop. And it, like, I don't know, it just kind of gives it a little bit of realism that I thought was tasty.
It also gives it this, like, weird sense of, like, this eerie feeling. Like, as soon as I saw this dead whale, like, I was like, that's when I would fucking leave. Like, immediately, that's when I would start getting fucking terrified.
Yeah, she was alarmed at this point,
But I think I've talked before about my fear of whales, haven't I?
No, I don't think so.
Bigfoot, yes.
Why are you scared of whales,
aliens,
buddy?
Yes. Whales?
So, yeah, like, sharks,
God damn, man.
Sharks are scary because they got all the teeth and stuff. Uh-huh. But whales have the size. Like, there's something... There's something about like there's an awesome picture. I'm sure you could Google it. It's basically like some people scuba diving from like a helicopter angle. They've got a picture of the people scuba diving, and then below them is like is a blue whale, which if you don't know, they're like 100 feet long.
No, they're massive.
And just the sheer size, the idea that something that fucking huge could possibly be swimming just right under me, and I wouldn't know.
Yeah, no, that's really scary. And I think that's one of our later movies operates on that a lot. But what I thought was actually kind of ingenious about The Shallows is that like it's not like it's gonna sneak up on you. Like you see this thing coming, and there's actually a certain level of tension that's added with that. Like not that, you know, it could come from anywhere and that you know, nothing's safe, but rather that she has to just outwit this fucking thing. And I think that's pretty impressive, too.
Which is pretty cool. She uses her smarts much later in the movie to, like, time things and kind of trick the shark and do some other things.
And I think that's a dangerous line to walk because you can easily walk into the territory of, like, unbelievability or stupidity.
Right.
And this movie really doesn't, like... It is very competent, and I... That sounds kind of like a backhanded
compliment.
It's not.
That is absolutely the word I'd use, yeah. Like, this guy, I looked up some of the other stuff he's done, and he's done, like, just, like, good thrillers. Like, he's like a workman kind of director.
He's got the thrillers down for sure.
And so, like, I think he's just really good at making this kind of movie. And when a director, like, kind of falls onto that, like, one particular niche that they're really good at, it's really cool to see them.
Well, it's good to see them, like, you know, in their kind of, like, comfort zone. So, like, I don't know. I brought it up a little bit earlier, but the only major thing in this movie that I would say is a knock is, like, there was points in the movie where I wasn't able to suspend my disbelief for the shark. Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like anybody who knows anything about, like, marine life would maybe have this problem, but sharks, like, usually don't attack people, and they're not super aggressive, which I guess is fine for the movie, but this shark was extremely dead set on killing this woman. Like, for multiple days on end, he would do nothing but just try to kill her. And, like,
which is also strange because there's a giant whale carcass, like,
there's a giant whale and other people that get killed and don't get eaten. So it's just like, I don't know. There's only a couple times where I was just like, he maybe would leave her alone eventually.
It is, but at the same time, like, the concept works so well to begin with that I'm sold. I can suspend my disbelief, and you have to for quite a bit of this movie, actually. There are some kind of ludicrous stuff that happens near the end of it.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, it's fucking enjoyable. This is just a really good thrill ride.
It's a minor knock.
It's not like Jaws, where it's like a more thoughtful, subtle film in a lot of ways. This is very much like a fun... And I almost want to say that it's not quite horror. It's definitely very tense and scary.
It reminds me
of something like, honestly, like Open Water or Gravity, where it's just stressful.
Survival kind
of. I wanted to kind of bring that up because whereas Jaws, I mentioned this in my review of Jaws, I like that movie, but at the same time, I'm just like, just don't go in the fucking water. You'll be fine. This movie is very different, and same with Open Waters, in that she is actually fucking stuck in the water, and she has no choice.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, she is a smart woman, and I believe that, but she got in a bad situation, and she can't get out now. Now she's trying to get away from the shark, which makes it a lot scarier
for me. In a lot of ways, find that kind of more compelling than the sort of, like, go out and hunt the animal sort of thing that
we see. Because you're just like, they don't have to do that. Yeah. They're kind of,
don't put yourself in the
line. This girl doesn't have a choice, and she's using her wits and shit to kind of get out. So I thought that was... For me, that was just a little thing that just made it a little more suspenseful. I don't know, a little scarier.
Yeah. I think because of just how, like, sort of bare bones this plot is, there's probably not a lot more to say.
No.
Do we want to go into reviews for this one?
Yeah, for sure. I'm down.
All right, Brandon, let's hear yours first, bud.
So, this movie, it got hyped up a lot for me. Not too much, but Kells was excited, and Dylan and Devin had given it rave reviews, or at least said good things about it. And so I was just trying to make sure I wasn't, you know, walking into a disappointment. The movie starts out and it's very gripping from the beginning, and there's some kind of, like, you know, like, wink, wink, hey, we know this actress is hot shots in the movie, which is fine, and I was worried they would abuse it, but very quickly they get serious and they respect this woman, and she proves herself, not even a telling to the audience. She just proves that she knows what she's doing, and she's very intelligent, and so it makes me more concerned for her and very interested. And as the movie develops, we take this really simple plot, and lots of cool things from her past come back, which I think is really interesting. And I say that just as a simple little fun movie, you go to the movies or even rent this when it comes out, or, you know, buy it, whatever. I think it's definitely worth a view. It's like so easy to get in and get gripped by this movie. It's definitely recommended. It's a gem.
I'm going to go ahead and give my review. I feel pretty much the same as Brandon. I don't have a ton to say about this one just because, like, I think this is a very competent movie. It does what it sets out to do very well. I don't think it exceeds any expectations that I had, but it also doesn't fall short.
Right.
It's a solid shark movie. I mean, we watched a few last year, right? Or was it the year before? But we've seen some shitty ass shark movies, and they're out there.
The one in Australia where the shark comes into the supermarket.
Right.
That was
with our girl Sharni Benson in it.
When you put it in the context of those movies, it's like this movie really goes to show what you can do with a very solid concept and sort of a minimalist approach. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And this movie does it very well, so it gets a pretty solid gem from me. Yeah. Dylan, let's hear from you.
I mean, my boys are on point here. This movie it's absolutely not the best thing I've ever seen, but for whatever reason, I think just because of how simple it is and how well it executes on everything it's trying to do, I really, really like this movie. I had a blast watching it, and I feel like popcorn thrillers like this or popcorn horror movies like this are actually fairly rare these days, at least something kind of on, like, a minor scale that's just going to get right into the action and deliver it. And so for that alone, I think it's definitely worth watching. So far, it's actually been one of my favorites of the year. Something about this just really hit it with me. And,
it's a very beautiful movie.
Yeah,
you guys
it's
mentioned
gorgeous.
That,
cinematography is excellent.
You mentioned Planet Earth, and you do kind of get some of those vibes. I think Brandon, you had some interesting stuff to say about drone filmography.
Well, did they use that a lot?
This is a weird grip for me, but like whenever I'm watching a movie, you know, and I recognize it's very beautiful. This movie is gorgeous. And one thing that I want to give as a credit to this movie is that they use tons of aerial photography, mm-hmm. right? We're in the fucking ocean or, you know, beach, whatever. So we can't always be in the water. And they do a good job of having good still shots. A lot of movies like Spring in particular, you can literally tell when they're using a drone because it's extremely stabilized. It's doing all these crazy moves around the city. You can just know that it's being filmed by a drone. And like that, it's not like a knock, but it always
kind of takes you out.
It makes me aware that I'm fucking watching a movie.
But do you think that that's like more to do with understanding film? Because I think ever since we started, ever since we started the podcast, I think that, you know, even for me, like there's a lot of things we talked about this a little during Lake Placid, but you kind of start to think about the way films are made.
Yeah.
Yes.
And does that change your impression?
It definitely does.
For this one, what works so well about that is that it's such a nice, like you're on basically like a flat surface. That's the problem with a lot of ocean horror movies, right? If you're on open water, you're going to be on open water for basically the whole time. And that gets static.
It does.
This movie does
a
really good job.
Are you in open water right now?
No, but that'll come up in that. This movie does a really good job of like kind of panning up and then going down. And it gives you really neat angles.
So I love that.
You never get tired of the same place that you're in, which is important because you're literally in the same place the whole time.
They give you a really good perspective of above water, below water, you know, from top down. You really know the area. Yeah. And so they can't like pull
which is
any.
Very important.
They can't pull any fast ones like, oh, she walked back. But
I just realized my only maybe slight gripe, which is that while this movie does look beautiful, and this scene in particular does look beautiful, there is a scene with bioluminescent jellyfish that looks very, very, very phony.
And it I didn't mind that one.
I do remember
it a little bit. It looked really nice, but it did look kind of shitty.
I feel bad, Dylan, derailing your review.
Anyway, yeah, mine is it's a strong gem actually. Mm-hmm. Really, really enjoyed this movie. I think you'll like it. Take a look.
Cool. That's three gems.
Oh, don't mind if I do.
For The Shallows, I think we can all agree that it's definitely worth seeing. Lots
Devin would
theaters.
Definitely give it a gem too. I've talked to him about it. So
we'll have to give what we think he would say about the rest of them.
I think it's a gem.
That should be interesting.
That should be easy for the next one, I'm sure.
It should be. But before that, let's go to a little email. This is from Mike. Thank you, Mike. He says, "Hey, sluts," which I hope you're not shaming us for that because, you know, we...
No shame. We wear it proudly.
We're very sexual. Thought I'd drop a line in a continuation of the email a few weeks ago about podcasts. I'm all about spooky stories in all forms and thought I'd share the No Sleep podcast based on the subreddit. It's a collection of the best stories from the subreddit told in spooky ways. I highly recommend it for anyone that needs to get their spooky fill in before listening to your sexy voices on Wednesday.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Boy. Also, what are your thoughts on all the VR horror games that are coming out of E3? Keep up the mediocre work. P.S.
Thank you.
I hope this gets read while Dylan's gone so I can be 3 for 3 on missing that druidic cum guzzler. That's an amazing
insult. I just
read
that line and I'm like, holy shit, Mike Walker, high five.
Yeah, we used to play D&D together. And
that's
amazing. I was a druid. And I guess
So this is one of your D&D buddies. Yeah. We could talk about D&D.
No, it's not what he asked about, though.
Okay.
I do want to comment on this, though, because I have opinions about VR games and that subreddit. Like, I had to unsubscribe from that subreddit because of just the assault on my senses of how horrifying it is. They have games. They have spooky stories. They've got spooky pictures. Like, anything you can imagine that roams the internet that's creepy is going to be on that subreddit.
It's really good, like, and it's amateur good. Storytelling.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Like, any random Joe goes on there and tells a creepy ghost story, and, like, it's so much more believable. But speaking of VR horror games, I was watching this lady recently. Her husband was, like, filming her just for points on the internet while she was playing a spooky horror game. And, like, it's so engrossing and scary that she was, like, shaking and couldn't play the game.
She was doing one of the VR ones?
Yeah, she was doing a VR horror game, and she had to, like, shoot a gun at these zombies, right? And she was, like, having a breakdown. And, like, I played a VR game for the first time at DreamHack a couple weeks ago, and it's crazy how you get engrossed in it, because you can't hear anything around you if you have had, you know, noise canceling.
Yeah, that's the thing that scares me most about it. Like, I haven't done any of the VR stuff yet.
It's
really
freaky.
Really want to, but, like, the fact that you're just, like, depriving yourself of all the senses around you, I'm worried I'm going to fucking break furniture, but also I'm worried that, like, I'm not going to be able to, like, differentiate between zombies coming at me and my real living room.
Well, that's what the thing that's really cool about it is that a lot of them have good tricks within the graphics to, like, know when things are around you. They have sensors around them to know where there's objects. And so you just can quickly forget that you're in a room because it just it puts things in front of you or it lets you know that
God,
you're...
what a fucking world we live in.
It's horrifying. Crazy. And so I personally don't think I could handle a scary horror VR game.
Yeah, I started to think about playing something like Outlast, for example, in VR.
Nope. I played like 5 minutes of Outlast and I was done.
Yeah. Nope. This is slightly off topic, but I have to really, really highly recommend a little horror game called Anatomy. Brandon and I have played through it twice. Yeah. And I shit you not, this is like a short little game. It's maybe, what is it, like 45 minutes long?
$3 on...
It's on itch.io, itch.io. It's made by a lady named Kitty Horror Show. She does a bunch of scary games. I heard about it from a YouTube video. But I if you're at all into horror, if you're at all into games, I have to recommend it. It is fucking great. It is terrifying as hell. I don't want to say anything really more than that.
In VR, would you be able to handle it, though?
Oh, fuck no. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
So, yeah, I guess that's our thoughts on that stuff. So, let's move into our next film. Let's go with...
You got me, Mike.
Let's do Lake Placid. This is a film that we just watched. I would love to hear from Dylan on that.
Lake Placid. Okay. Yeah, we just did watch this. This movie is Jurassic Park meets Jaws.
What year was this?
Right after Jurassic Park. It has to be.
Let's look.
Let's see. Let's find out here.
It's 1999. So not right after.
Not right after,
I guess.
But riding off the coattails. This is, of course, why we even did this movie. It was because Devin's at Lake Placid. I hope he gets eaten by a fucking alligator because this movie has an alligator in it.
Well, he's already gotten attacked by a bear, which is in this movie, too.
True. Oh, boy. True. But in any case, we have a paleontologist woman played by Bridget Fonda, who is very, very quickly set up as, like, being the other, like the third wheel in a romantic relationship, and then she has to go somewhere else. Like, that's done in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And so she goes to Maine, where sexy Bill Pullman is like the fish and wildlife dude, Brendan Gleeson is the sheriff or whatever. They have had a couple of alligator crocodile attacks, and are really worried about what's going on. And it's weird that there's a fucking crocodile in Maine in Lake Placid. And so they go out to find it. They're met up with another like flamboyant. I don't know what he is.
He's like a crocodile playboy. He loves crocodiles.
Who knows? Played by Oliver Platt. And they try and track down a giant ass alligator that is eating things around there, including people and Betty White's cows. And that's Lake Placid.
One thing I want to say quickly is that the reason everybody meets up is because they don't know it's initially a crocodile. They're just like trying to do research to figure out why some dude got bitten in half randomly in the middle of like the lake. And so they bring in the paleontologist because they get the tooth.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well, she should research this. But obviously, as Dylan mentioned, she's trying to escape from her reality. So she's like, I don't want to.
That's dropped so quickly.
I want to hang out with sexy Bill, though.
But
he's
I don't
hot.
Blame her for that.
I mean, his ass is tight and his chin is just right. everybody meets up on the lake and it's pretty cool. What's the Irish guy's name that's really
Brendan Gleeson.
He is.
I fucking love him.
He is perfect in every movie.
I love him so much.
He plays like the same character in every movie,
he's a bit boring in this, but he does a good job, I guess.
Whenever he starts yelling, he's a hard-ass Irish guy.
Whenever he starts yelling, I get scared. I imagine like, what if he was my dad? I would never
be a bad boy again.
Exactly. I would be the most perfect child because if I ever had to hear him yell at me.
Let me ask you a question. What would you do if Dylan was your dad?
Oh,
I would be such a rebel. I would just fucking...
I'd be a real bad boy.
I'd punch kids. You know what? I had no disgrace. I would steal candy.
My sons.
All my sons.
All right.
Anyhow, back to the fucking
crocodile.
All right. So there's a giant crocodile in this. And one thing that I was super worried about going in, yes, this is 1999. They're just kind of playing around with CG for, you know, I guess Jurassic Park was one of the first big movies to do
it. It could look like piss.
And it usually looks awful from this time. Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
This crocodile looks good.
Yeah. So that's a spoiler. There's a crocodile in this
movie.
Yeah,
it's a fucking crocodile.
He's practical sometimes, impractical other times.
So you could say that the directors are practical about how they use him.
They choose it wisely, though, the times that they do it.
Practically genius.
Well, the director is the guy who did Friday the 13th Part 2.
Oh, yeah, he is. We were surprised at what else he had done. He did that in H2O, strangely.
Yeah, it's got some kind of calling cards. It feels like that, like a cheesy horror movie.
And I would say that this, even though I would say this movie is probably less scary than the other two, it is definitely a horror movie in the sort of genre sense.
I mean, it's a B-movie monster pick, and it knows it. And that's, like, usually that can be kind of a hit or miss sort of thing, especially with Devin. He hates those B-movies. But, like, this one, I think, knows what it is pretty well and does its job.
Well, kind of building off that, Dylan, is that this movie is very much about like the characters, and it's pretty funny actually most of the time. Like they have what's the girl from Golden Girls?
Betty White.
Oh yeah.
Betty White comes
in. She's calling people cocksucker.
She's calling people cocksucker. She says fuck you, and it's like you realize
it's
quickly,
cheap, but
the movie knows it's cheap. It knows what it's doing, but it does it well, yeah. And we don't get mad for it. There's a lot of good little quips and funny lines.
There's a lot of this. Like I think this is one of the most predictable
yes.
movies we've ever seen. As soon as they said, oh, here's the crocodile guy, and you see there's a helicopter, I was like, this is going to be the comedy relief. This is going to be the wisecracking, whatever. He's going to be a goofball. All of it's true. I think every single like plot beat was predicted, other than maybe one at the end. But
yeah, but I mean, everybody, part of the issue that I do have with this is that all of the characters are fairly obnoxious in their own ways. And so it's kind of hard to pick who you kind of side with here, except Bill Pullman, who's like Captain Vanilla,
really?
Which is super weird because like Bill Pullman has this kind of like roguish charm to him, and they don't use any of that in this
one.
He's just like breaking up fights the whole time. He's like, hey guys, let's not get too heated.
Megan was watching with us, and she, I think it was her that said she wished that he was a little more Indiana Jones.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Speaking of, there's an opening scene where a dude gets eaten, whatever, and then we cut to a natural history museum, and it literally felt just like Indiana Jones to me.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, they have Indiana Jones where he's, like, a kid, and then it shoots to him as an adult, like, in the museum, like, teaching.
There's probably people pissing themselves that we would dare mention that movie in line with this.
Well, but it is aping off of all of those.
You do get, I think it is, like, a Spielberg wannabe film in a lot of ways. And yeah, that's the thing, though, is, like, Bill Pullman's character is so boring. And honestly, Bridget Fonda's character is kind of likable in some ways, but then they'll take her to this extreme.
Yeah.
It's like
they're not sure what to do with
her. She's supposed to be like the city girl who you know doesn't want to deal with all this stuff.
And she's kind of like intermittent.
For me, she would be like really likable and then completely hateable.
Yeah, so they do the weird thing with her where like she is pretty likable. Like, yeah, it's a shitty situation that she's in here, and then she'll just say something like really mean to somebody. And you're like, bitch, where did you get off
you
with
need
that?
To check yourself.
Like, what the hell?
I think that's the problem. We're mentioning the Bill is like boring, but I think the problem is that all the other characters are so almost like ridiculous and so far to one direction that he doesn't have any time to shine. Like, there's no way he can have any screen
points
presence.
I even forgot he was in the movie.
Well, he doesn't have to shine. The problem is that like. Bridget Fonda's character doesn't shine either.
No, she just falls out of
really
things.
Shines other than Betty White, who you know is an angel.
Oh, she is on point every time she's on screen. She says, "Fuck you, suck my cock."
Sheriff Fuck Meat, is that what she called him?
There was one line where she's just like, "If I had a penis, this is where I'd tell you to suck it." And I'm like, only she can say that.
It's cheap, but I was like, yeah, cool.
It's like, yeah, she's old, it's funny, whatever. But I wasn't really that mad. But I do think that a lot of the characters in this movie, like, they didn't get to shine. No. They didn't really handle it as well as maybe a master.
They're not as, like, I think most of these characters are actually pretty closely ripped off of Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Like, you get the crocodile expert who is Jeff Goldblum's character.
Yeah. Right. He's Malcolm, basically.
You get the Sam Neill character, who I think is maybe Bill Pullman. I don't know. But, like, not as... He doesn't have the same Sam Neill kind of vibe to him. And the Ellie Sadler character sucks. Like, she's not Ellie. But, like,
I think we're comparing this to Jurassic Park.
You have to. You have to.
I think that, like, when people think about this movie, they think of Jaws. They think this
is aping on
Jaws. But
Jaws.
I definitely think this is, like, closer to Jurassic
Absolutely.
Park.
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of the scenes look the same. A lot of the sound effects kind of sound the same. A lot of the music is similar.
So, like, every time they're in a helicopter, the music is just straight Jurassic Park. Like, it's as close as they could get without a copyright infringement.
Right.
One thing that I do want to say is a definite just like plus to this movie is it's at least it's like action-y. Like we have very rarely is there just dull moments. Like
it's not boring.
Either someone's arguing about something and we're like, hey, what are they arguing about? Or there's a crazy crocodile eating shit and we're like, all right, that was raw.
And the crocodile effects look dope as fuck. Like every time it kills something in this movie, it's actually really impressive. I gotta say.
For me, that was doubly impressive because I always thought this movie was just schlocky trash.
Right.
Like, you hear Lake Placid, you see the huge crocodile or whatever. You're like, yeah, fuck this movie. And I haven't seen it since I was a kid, and I was watching. I'm like, this movie looks pretty good, and there's a lot of pretty known actors. And so when a crocodile eats a dude's head, you're like, don't mind if I do.
This movie does have a very iconic cover art. Like, I remember seeing this in Blockbuster and stuff.
You can't forget it, yeah.
It's a really good cover. And I mean, it's everything that you want out of the movie. And I got to be honest, you're going to get most of that out of the movie when you watch it. Like, it's just a crocodile eating shit. The moments where it's not, I'm a little less interested in it. But, you know.
I think a lot of us had some good jokes, though.
It,
We had some good puns. I mean, Megan was laughing, so hey. It's just because I'm funny, Dylan.
Yeah, that's why.
You don't want to admit it, but I'm pretty funny.
Nah.
All right, we're mercy killing this. Let's review it.
Let's do it.
I'm going to go ahead and go first. I think this movie is fine. It's serviceable. I was not mad that I watched it. I really don't know what else to say. It was definitely different than I expected. I expected, like Brandon said, like something super schlocky, like something like a sci-fi horror original, something along those lines. But honestly, this movie is a little higher than that. This movie is a little more
budget's
elevated
on screen.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. It's a nice looking movie, and that was one of the first things we commented on, is like, we watched so many shitty ass looking movies that this movie actually does look pretty nice.
Yeah,
and that was kind of cool to see. Again, this is very competent in a different way than something like The Shallows, but this movie does do what it sets out to do, which is like a creature feature, B-movie, sort of throwback film. For some reason, I think this movie made me fall in love with Bridget Fonda. I don't know why.
Don't That's surprising, yeah.
I think she's
grating in this movie.
I want her to be mean to me or something. I don't know.
Degrade me. It's like the girl from Parks and Rec.
Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza. Just like, please make fun of me. It's so funny.
But yeah, no, this movie's, it's fine. It's cute. It's whatever. I'm going to give it a light gem. Brandon, how about you, buddy?
Yeah. One thing I just want to say, I said at the beginning of this movie, but we've watched, doing this show, I've watched so many shitty movies and everyone makes fun of me, and I've watched so many trashy movies that when you see a movie that has this kind of production and you don't expect it, it's like actually a huge sigh of relief.
Yeah.
The movie looks good. It's well lit. And then you start seeing all the actors, you're like, all right, it feels good to watch something that actually has some production value. And so you can definitely tell. I think that this takes like trashy kind of like creature features to the next level and kind of makes it more broad for like a broader audience, which is probably why everybody knows about this movie.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to go ahead and say this movie kind of exceeded my expectations. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't amazing.
Were those low expectations though?
I had extremely low expectations.
I did too.
Yeah.
But for me, it was almost like a Tremors moment. I watched it and I'm like, I wasn't mad.
That's an apt comparison, actually.
I think Tremors is a little better because it's just a little more cheeky. But this movie, it has moments of greatness. It's funny. The characters are interesting and we can at least fucking remember them. So,
true.
And the crocodile doesn't even look too bad and eats some fucking heads. So it's a gem.
All right. Dylan, what do you think, bud?
I'm not as shot in the head with it as Blister seems to be.
Didn't love it, but
yeah, you didn't love it. And I mean, it's a movie that's hard to it's a movie that's hard to love, but it's hard to hate too. Like it's just a decent movie, and it's not aiming particularly high, so it hits its mark, and I'm not mad at it. Like I just think like some of the characterization in it is a little wonky to the point where it's like a little unlikable at points. And that's when I kind of fall off. Whereas something like Tremors that Blister brought up is really good at establishing all its characters and making you care about them.
That's
and that's that little thing that's missing from this one. But it is pretty close. So I got to agree with Matt. I think it's a light gem. It's not particularly great, but it's better than I thought it was going
to
be.
I would give it a light gem, but I try not to have like those gray areas. I just want the audience to
for
know.
Sure.
It's a recommendation.
You're not going to go wrong by watching it.
Yeah, you won't be. Hopefully you won't be mad.
Oh, shit, guys. Just so you know, I've got some breaking news. Devin has given us his review all the way from Lake Placid. That's not his review of Lake Placid. It's his review of Lake Placid, the film.
Oh, the place in general?
No, the film.
Oh,
okay. He watched it. Can you believe it? it's a light gem because late 90s, early 2000s movies bring back weird nostalgia and it's not that long.
Yeah. You can't be that mad at it. I think all of us are pretty much in agreement.
Yeah, the pacing wasn't too bad. But hey, that's enough about movies. Who cares about those? I have
that's not what
emails
you're here for.
To read.
I love emails.
Howdy, Horribles.
Hey.
Greetings from beautiful Kansas, a.k.a. Satan's sweaty hole.
Oh,
seriously,
that sounds lovely.
The weatherman expects a heat index of 110 today, which is great news if you are swamp fungus or malaria. Seriously, it's sticky here, which makes it perfect indoor movie weather. On that note, it's been a decent horror summer so far with The Conjuring 2 and Purge election year.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. With Lights Out coming out soon, I decided to show my wife the short film that spawned it, and now we have to sleep with the effing bathroom lights on. Thank you for censoring yourself. We don't like to say swears on this show.
We've never said a swear.
Anyway, that was a good short. Sure, it was a short short, but a good short. Who doesn't love short shorts?
So I love started tight short shorts.
Oh, excuse me.
Shorts.
I like them tight. I like when you see the butt crack.
Oh,
just
my
like,
God.
Mm. So what Especially other good boys. Shorts are out there, horror or otherwise? And I thought, I bet those spooky boys would know. I'll ask them, by golly. Any recommendations, rain them down on me. Give me something besides Facebook to do at break time. P.S. Laura's awesome. Lou Reed's is hilarious, but has disappointingly little to do with Lou Reed. Sorry. Josh Moisture Farm Myers.
It's probably because he's sweating. I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah. I think as far as shorts go, we've mentioned it before, but the short for Mama, before it was made into the feature film, is real good and real fucking scary.
I want to highlight again, Dylan, that before Mama came out, they had done practical like simulations kind of an actor in a suit.
One of the scariest
Of the scariest so shit fucking... I've ever seen put to hand cam.
I haven't seen any of this, the movie fuck. Or the shorts.
The movie's pretty good.
The movie's not bad.
And I think it's could have been...
The ending's not good.
Pants-shittingly scary if they had used the...
They do it in CG, and that's one of the big knocks that people have on it usually. But the like original one is done, I think, pretty much practical. But they had like a practical one they were using for the movie that we mentioned, I think, a couple casts ago.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
It is so fucking scary.
There's an actor, I don't remember his name, but he's notorious for doing weird...
It's not Doug...
Prishpreed.
I have no idea, Dylan. Don't even ask. But
the guy who played Abe Sapien in Hellboy.
Yeah, there's an actor who is famous for having... Just his limbs are kind of like unnatural the way they move.
The guy from Student Bodies, fuck.
And he did some costume tests. It was really scary. But I mean... I can't think of any like shorts that you could go watch on the internet right now, but I'm thinking of major movies that were spawned from shorts, right, like Saw or even this latest movie.
Saw's
like,
off a short?
Yeah, it was. I think it was picked up from a college student like short film that he had made. Huh. And what's his name?
James Wan.
James Wan like picked it up. Now that could be false. Hopefully the internet fact checkers will check that.
Yeah, please.
I'm pretty sure it was based on.
We're too lazy to check ourselves. I did want to shortly talk about Lights Out, the short.
I still haven't seen it.
Bring up, yeah.
You guys, seriously, check out the short. It's really fucking cool. I think that the trailer for the movie looks too comedic. Like, it legitimately looks like it's going to be like a comedy, and then when it becomes like a horror trailer.
I did not get that.
You didn't.
I
think when she's like flipping the light on and off, and I was like,
no,
this
it's laughable. It's not
laughable.
Comedic.
I think that was taken a little too far, but I think the trailer's scary. Everyone makes fun of it, but I think it'll be a scary movie.
You should check out
I think it's going to be on the kind of rung of Dead Silence.
Sure.
Like it's going to be something
like Dead Silence.
Right, I know you do, and it's not a bad movie. It's
very kind of polarizing a little bit.
Check out the short. It's actually pretty scary.
It's terrifying.
There's a couple other good things out there.
Bedfellows is good. It's really short.
I liked, I don't know if this counts as a horror short, but you ever seen Fantastic Hey Hey Hey?
Oh God, that counts as a horror short. Fuck my dick. It is so scary.
Yes.
What?
Tell me about that. You've seen it, believe sir. It's like a mannequin like turning its hand and going, I feel fantastic.
It's awful. It is skin crawling.
And then
horrifying.
And then you see like the camera zoom out in the yard and it's like, this is where I hide the bodies.
Is that
it doesn't
one
say
where
it.
He's,
it's
like, walking around in the yard. Is that the one that Doug used to watch? Like
yes,
the whole
yes.
That the guy that makes those videos is like
the
very
other shit that
strange.
He has is really weird too. Yeah.
Very strange man.
I think like Slender Man started out with as a, what was that called?
I don't know.
Oh God, it's called like Marble Hornets, right?
Oh yeah. Those are pretty good. It falls off a bit. That series goes too long, I think. But the early ones are pretty effective for sure.
Yep. So thanks for the email once again, Josh. We appreciate it.
Always
always
love.
We're sweating too in this horrible, horrible hot room.
Yeah. I don't have a heat index right now, but it feels like well up into the 90s in this room right now. So my tits are sweating.
All right, now that's enough of emails. I hate emails now. We're going to go back to movies. Let's talk about some films, some
like
scary
movies,
some moving pictures.
Let's just talk about all the scary movies.
Everyone.
Yeah,
of them.
Sure. Okay. So Scary Movie 1, I would
not
love
bad.
To go
okay.
into the Make synopsis sure. of that.
Yep. Scream, but for dummies.
Yeah. All right. This is a stupid goof. So we're going to talk about Open Water. Open Water opens up with our couple. We have a man and wife who are planning a getaway, a vacation. The wife has just gotten a new job, and to celebrate that, they're going to plan a vacation. I'm not exactly sure where they're going. Do you guys remember?
They're going to Waterland and Beach Place.
Sure. Yeah, that was it. It was on the tip of my tongue.
Waterland Beach Place.
Yep. So what they're going to do is they're going to go there. They're going to have a fun in the sun. They're going to go scuba diving. They get to the beach. They're doing couple stuff, I guess, like having sexual relations.
Whoa.
Well, actually, I think she gave him the cold shoulder.
That's
there was
true.
No sex
well,
for
that's
him.
That's true. They both were kind of not feeling it seems like. But anyway, who cares? That was a dog barking. Dylan's dog decided to join us for the podcast today instead of Devin.
Him.
He's much better than Devin in every way. He's furrier, cuter.
His reviews and analysis have been way more important.
I know. Great, big, bushy beard. I wish he would. He's really nervous he wouldn't come on and record, but he had some really great insight into Lake Placid. Anyways, so where this movie really gets going is we get to them going on a scuba diving trip. They're being taken out there by a guide. I'm assuming they've probably done this once or twice before, but it is like a very casual scuba diving thing.
It's like a 35-minute scuba diving.
Yeah, it's for scuba diving newbies. So they're getting taken Scoobies. Out there. Scoobies, yeah, as we call them in the biz.
Of course.
Jesus.
So things go a little awry because they go into the water and there's this guy that's kind of a dick. He forgot his mask, I guess, at home or whatever. And he's thinking he can't go scuba diving. Well, one of the divers can't. This is where they start talking about some scuba shit that I didn't understand. Like, she couldn't equalize her ears. Yeah. And they said she should do some BC squats or something. I don't fucking know.
Sure, BC squats.
But she couldn't go out. So she comes up. He asks if he can use her mask. Well, they're taking a head count. And long story short, they get forgotten. They get left out in the ocean. And we go into our premise of the film, which is what would happen if you're stuck out in open water, literally in open water, ocean as far as the eye can see. And that really is the entire movie. The whole movie takes place with them trying to survive. How do they handle this from like a relationship social aspect? How do they handle this physically? What happens to these people?
So before we get into the meat and potatoes of this movie, which is water, I want to talk about some of the more like grounded things that happened before that. Like Devin, our co-host, was watching this movie and he could not handle the first 5 minutes. And so I want to warn you, if you do watch this movie, the first few minutes are pretty just dreadful.
Well,
but
I think what happened is that when it starts out, it is very, very, very low budget. Like, this movie was $500,000.
Well, it's
that
low budget the whole time. But that's okay.
But no, because they use the budget on the water.
Intelligently.
For like, yeah.
I'm not trying to say it's a knock. I'm just saying.
So when the movie does start, like, your first thought is going to be like, I'm watching someone's home movie.
The actors are trash. It looks like shit. But that's okay. Just watch the first
I would say even the actors are trash, like, in the on-land parts. But then, like, as soon as they hit the water, somehow this just becomes a good movie.
I want to talk about that later, but I definitely agree with you 100%.
Do you guys think that did he actually watch it? He gave me his review.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did. He was talking about how he wouldn't.
He hated this.
He couldn't get through. He literally said 2 minutes of this movie.
And I'm bummed because, like, well, yeah. I get it.
I came back at him with, dude, you watched all of Thanksgiving. Yes. How can you not sit through this?
I will say, give this movie a chance because
the opening is, it's
whether it's bad or good, it gets interesting if you just wait a few minutes. Just a few minutes.
So that's what I was trying to highlight. You get past that. Just ignore that ever happened. The second they get
you can't ignore that it ever happened too, because really it doesn't matter.
Exactly. It's insignificant. It's so set up. As soon as they get to their destination spot, that's when stuff starts happening. The relationship tensions kind of come in. And I want to say, Manton mentioned that they went on the scuba trip. And I want to say, I love that scene where they're on the boat. Mm-hmm. They're on the boat and they're like, the captain's giving them like the whole spiel. And like, I don't know if it was intentional, but the camera looks really shitty and you kind of feel like a member.
It feels pretty natural.
It feels like a home movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they intended it that way, but whatever.
I think the guide is actually a guide and not an actor.
I believe that. Yeah. That's the thing. They're on this.
But he sells it well because of that.
Yeah. Yes. They're on this boat and they're going to go scuba diving. And he gives the whole spiel like, okay, you're going to do this and this and this. We're going to keep buddy system. Oh, also, don't worry about sharks. They're not, you know, they don't attack people. And everybody in the boat is acting exactly like a tourist where they're like, I don't give a fuck what he's saying. They're not listening to him at all. Yeah. And it feels very like I'm on a scuba diving trip. No one else cares what this guy's saying. I just can't wait to get in the water and scuba dive. And it just it was cheesy and corny and felt exactly like a tourist trap would feel.
There's a very like strange cutoff point there. I mean, Devin is right. Like, the beginning of this movie is not good.
It's trash.
It's bad. I think it's trash. But like, that's only, I would say, like 8 minutes, maybe. Like, there's
maybe,
not much
maybe
of
five,
it.
8 minutes.
And then as soon as they get on the boat, like, there's a very clear cutoff where suddenly it just decides to be a good movie.
I honestly think
it's bizarre.
I honestly think it sort of starts when when they're brushing their teeth.
Yeah, that scene is actually kind of nice.
I think it's kind of cute. Like, they're like, they feel, to me, they felt pretty natural. And even when they're in bed and they're like sort of quarreling a little bit, it felt pretty natural.
The thing is, I don't think that part is necessary because you get all of that once they're
really
out on the water anyway.
No.
They have time to talk. So
yeah, exactly.
It kind of sets it up though. But basically, like, they're on the boat, they get in the water. That's what we keep talking about. They get into the water and then instantly these become good actors in a very stressful situation, and it feels a lot more real.
And it's all the more impressive. Like, I mean, I don't think they're like the best actors I've ever seen, but the fact that they're doing all of this in like wetsuits, literally on open water, fucking crazy.
We don't even normally do this. We had to look up like some of the facts about this movie. They spent 120 hours in the water during filming.
That's nuts.
And another huge credit to the movie is there are real sharks swimming around them. Like,
there's no,
tons.
Like, that pays off really well too, because like in a lot of movies, there that point where you can tell something CG, or you can tell, you know, where the practical effect has a seam that can make or break it. There aren't those, because these are just sharks, and that's what
they are. Really sharks, fuck. And these actors are not really protected in any way. Like, they're complete. There's scenes where they're completely surrounded by sharks. They're just swimming everywhere.
I'm
like,
legit scared for the actors
I was like, how do they do it? We literally had to look it up after the movie to see like how they did it, and it was pretty impressive.
I mean, clearly from the angle that this is shot, like there's a boat nearby them with a camera and everything, right. But it doesn't make it less scary. Well, that they're just out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
That's one thing I want to mention as a positive and a negative. So we mentioned that they're out in the ocean for this whole movie. It's true. But whereas like the Shallows, they use a lot of different camera angles to go under the water and above. Like, this movie is more or less
static. Yeah.
Them on top of the water, almost from the exact same angle. Now, it's hard to tell because it's the ocean, but you can tell more or less it films them in the same direction the whole time. And it's good and bad. It reinforces some of the points in the movie. But
I think that the good element of that is that like the concept of this is
Horrifying, absolutely horrifying,
way more scary than even than Jaws or The Shallows or whatever, because you are literally they're just
fucked.
They're floating in the water.
You're just fucked.
And there's no islands. There's no boats. Like, they see boats way off in the distance, but it is utterly hopeless. And just as a concept, it is terrifying just to think about yourself.
Also,
to
think about, like, when a lot of movies say like based on a true story, this is literally based on a true story, like multiple true stories.
That's another thing we looked up, is that like there really was a couple that, because of a botched head count, was really left out in the ocean and were never found. And
that's
like
terrifying.
That's fucking terrifying. And that's so cool that they, I think actually the director and writer were a husband and wife, and they are scuba divers before filmmakers. And I'm assuming they heard of this story and were like, holy shit, this is scary.
And
they're
that,
right.
That said, like, I mean, when we come to, you know, based on true story type things, especially with one that is like this, I think this one's pretty respectful with how it treats its characters too.
Yeah, it is.
That both of them are like a very believable couple. And,
they are.
And very believable in the circumstances. They're not immediately freaking out. They're not like, you know.
They make jokes for the first little bit. And something that I really want to speak on this as a positive is that, like, I love the way that they go back and forth. Like, the wife will sort of go nuts and the husband will try to comfort her, and then we have the husband doing one of my favorite scenes in the movie, just fucking yelling and saying,
just
like,
frustration.
This is fucking bullshit, and he's just screaming. She's just like, they zoom in on her face a lot, and she's just like, all right, are you fucking done now?
She has the face of like, when are you gonna stop?
And there's, when one of them is in pain, the other's comforting them, and there's a lot of back and forth emotionally, and it feels very believable, because I think that like when you're in a situation like that, or anything where you're stuck with somebody, you have those back and forth moments of blame or fear, and it works very, very well.
And I'll say it's uncomfortably identifiable too, because it makes it feel all the more real. I mean, for all the limitations of this movie, the thing that it's not doing, you know, like panning underwater shots largely or anything like that, it does make it static, and it does kind of stretch it a little thin at times, but it does really, they commit in this movie to making it feel realistic, and I think they nail it. Like, this movie feels like you're just there with them and you can't help them, and it
feels
hurts.
Horrible, actually, because there's a lot of like very like minor problems that happen to them, like they get stung or they maybe get bit by a fish or they cut themselves, like, whatever, and there's nothing they can do. They try to help each other, like, with the minimal things they have, just their wetsuit.
At one point, they find, like, Starbursts in their, like, one of their pockets or whatever, and they're over the moon, like, because they've got food. And
I love that.
Oh, fuck. Like, you poor, poor people.
I think Manton mentioned it, but this is very much our very familiar, like, a kind of like a, a Blair Witch Project in the water.
For
kind
sure,
of.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of just exploring, like, very basically, what would a group of people do if they were in a horrible situation where they were just destined to die or whatever, like, or they were in a very perilous situation? I thought it was pretty cool. Like, they don't really focus on anything else that's going on. They just focus on the people. And I thought it was good.
That's not entirely true. There are a couple of moments where this movie is looking for something to do, and it will like awkwardly cut to either like dramatic like wave pictures, or
I think
like,
they were desperately trying to cut up the
there's
landscape.
Filler or like landscape on the shore that does not B-roll. Remotely connect. Yeah, it is B-roll. They're just showing B-roll. And the moments where I was doing that, I was like, guys, stop. Like, just get the movie over with sooner, because like,
so do you think it was like
it's a simple premise, and they do stretch it thin in a couple of places.
Do you think so? I mean, this movie is
it's still short.
I think this movie fucking flew by. I don't necessarily agree. I think that like, now I will say that like those shots, like they're not especially beautiful because they're being shot. They're not on like cameras like in the shallows, and like it works the shallows because this is beautiful imagery of beautiful scenery.
Yeah, you wouldn't
and I get
it.
What they were trying to do. It's to me, it's somewhat admirable, just that they wanted to have this like B-roll that's sort of there to sort of set the mood and sort of be artistic. But you are right. That,
it's not
like,
bad, but it's
when
just
when it's shown it's from like there. this home movie shitty ass camera, it's kind of hard.
It's confusing.
To,
I don't, because they cut it in at points where I'm
there's,
just like,
there's
what,
one point
what
where it
this?
Worked really well, which is like after a very very dramatic
yeah,
moment.
I like
they
that
go
part.
To like the sun setting, and there's this red ocean.
Yeah,
and
I did
it,
like
and
that.
It works
well,
really well.
And I think in that one it works well because they're showing you like the actual stuff around them, and sometimes
sure.
it'll just cut to like the town that they were gonna
no,
be in
I
or something.
Doing, yeah.
And I'm like, what? What is this? What?
So speaking of like just the way the camera looks, immediately you recognize that the camera, like the movie just looks shitty. Like
yeah.
it has like this very almost intentional shitty hand cam kind of look.
I think it is intentional.
And
I think it is.
For me, I don't know that it is, because like the movie was
right.
low budget. Maybe they were literally limited by their technology, and they never explain why the hand cam is being done and why it looks like shit. In like the Blair Witch, for instance, they literally are just
shooting on a hand cam.
They're just right, shooting yeah. on a hand cam, and they're just they're
yeah,
reporters or
that's
whatever.
True. This one could have gotten away with having a nicer camera because it's not found footage.
I think
like, there's no way it could have been found footage.
For me, it would have benefited it because you have this horrible look, and usually that's explained. They didn't even try to do that, so I don't know. It was kind of this point of like confusion for me. I didn't really.
I think that the biggest problem there is that like in the beginning of the movie when it's just them at their house and stuff. I think
it looks terrible.
Well, that's the problem, is like there it looks terrible. And I think that if they had a better camera for that stuff, that'd be fine. And maybe like somehow explain it away that like when they're in the water, they're even if they just switch cameras with no explanation, I
yeah.
think it might have worked.
Or that
better.
They just didn't have the part where they're in the house. Like, cause I just don't think it.
Oh,
has
I think
much.
They could cut it out.
Yeah.
Almost
but
yeah.
I think that I'm going to counterpoint you, Blue Star. I think that the grainy camera actually adds a lot to this one in a sense that we think of like 28 Days Later, where it's kind of intentional grainy. It like it adds to the real and gross feeling of it. Mm. And this is a very real and gross feeling movie. Like you don't feel good throughout it. And I think it's kind of anchored by the fact that like it's just grimy and grainy.
I think,
and shit.
I think where Brandon is getting at, and I guess he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's saying that like the having that home movie look to it is cool, but there needs to be a reason. Like
yes.
you can't go
True.
Into this
and
immediately have this home movie feel, but it's not a home movie. But you can't help but think like, wow, this looks like garbage. And I do agree with that. I agree with both of you, actually. I think that the home movie element of it makes it look so real, especially when it pays off when we see the sharks.
Oh god,
when the
yeah.
sharks are going around, you're like, holy shit, this is like a shitty camera, someone's home movie, this is really happening.
Yeah, definitely.
But then it's contrasted so much by the footage of them at their house, because again, even on the boat when they're doing like the tourist thing, you can say, okay, well, this looks like there's someone's filming this and they're a tourist.
I actually really like it on the boat.
I
think
I love
it
on the boat.
Yeah.
To me, when we're talking about 28 Days Later or whatever, 28 Weeks Later, I can't remember which one, but like that movie is very clearly intentional.
Sure.
Like it's not accidental. In this movie, I can't tell if it was just a limitation. And so it's just one of those things that takes me out of it, and I'm questioning it. If they had just committed one way or the other, I wouldn't have any room to question it.
It didn't bother me too much. And I think what I'm saying is that like I just feel like that kind of extra layer of realness, whether that is real or not.
Yeah.
That kind of that feeling of like this is just average people, average situation. Why gussy
it
up?
On the boat,
it works.
It works perfectly.
It's a benefit.
To me, it's beautiful.
It's a benefit to some parts of the movie.
Correct,
and a
yeah.
detriment to
yes,
other parts.
Yes, I'll agree with that. It's good and yeah. bad.
I think we could just agree that like the first 10 minutes of this movie, you can just
chop
right
forget
off.
About
it's,
it.
They really could have.
It's not very good.
I want to emphasize whatever I say about this movie. The boat scene where they're on the boat, I fucking loved it. Even
yeah.
as I was watching it and I was cracking jokes, whatever.
Yeah.
I was getting my bad rap. I was just like, the scene is perfect. It's so good, and it makes me feel like I'm there about to go on a shitty
and then you get the,
pedestrian scuba
really
dive.
I did like the shitty asshole guy.
Yeah.
It was like, I've been diving for years, and she's like, did you remember to do, you know, this basic thing? And he's like, no. whatever. And
all
and
that just, it felt so, so real.
Because yeah. there's always that one asshole that's like, you know, and like trying to show off or whatever.
I think that those couple little elements they got perfect really grounded a lot of the shit that happens later, yeah. where they're stranded and stuff. I mean, this movie is very simple and it doesn't try too
very,
much.
Very, very simple.
Which is good. It's good and bad. Yeah. I don't know. I was talking to Manton when we were watching it, but it does get to a point where it kind of drags on a little bit because we're just in the water and maybe I just need some land or something like from the Shallows. But eventually it gets to a point where like you can't tell what's going on around you in the movie and you can't tell what's.
Yeah.
It just kind of feels
it's
like
it's a limited angle that they stick to the whole time. And something like the Shallows, what I really appreciated out of that was the landmarks that you got the sense of everything around her. You could kind of plot out her survival route too. Here they're just adrift, which is scary as shit. But it is a little visually boring.
It's effective, and it's so effective to the point where like I eventually kind of lose visual reference. Like I'm just like, okay,
yeah, you're lost with them.
They're stuck in the water. That sucks.
To me, I gotta say though, for me, I think that's like to the benefit of the film.
I do too.
I think that like just thematically that works. Like they're totally right. You get completely lost, and you have this sense of like I don't know what's going on or where they are, other than they're just stuck in the water. And to me, that is like what makes this so scary. And I think that effective is a good word. Like this movie, it's hard to almost judge it on like an artistic merit like we usually do, or like a fun or whatever.
It's not fun.
It's just effective. This is a movie that is meant to, I think, sort of scare you based on its concept. And it does. And it's just effective.
What I'll say is that sometimes real life isn't fun for movies. And
yeah, absolutely.
This movie is so realistic that I think it's to the detriment of the movie.
It's grueling.
It's not bad, and I want to clarify that this movie, I don't think this movie is bad, but I just think that there's some elements that are so real that I didn't need to see them in a movie.
I see what you mean there. Like as entertainment, this has a very low entertainment value, I think. Like it's you're literally watching two people just die slowly in the middle
while
of the ocean.
While getting pissed off at each other. Yeah. And like it's intense and it's stressful.
But it's interesting.
I mean, we like intense and stressful movies every now and then too. And this is different. Like there are not a lot of things like it that I've seen. So
I was telling Brandon they did this might be the same people, maybe not, but a year or two later there was a movie, it might have been called like Frozen before.
Oh yeah, I can't remember. Is that the chairlift one?
Yeah,
they're stuck on a ski lift. And
it's
there's
so
even
like this.
In this
so
movie
funny.
They she even mentioned something about like
skiing.
I'd rather
yeah.
be skiing, and I immediately like shot to like seeing pictures of that movie.
I've heard
it's shitty as hell, but
how quickly Matt and drew that connection was hilarious. One thing that I want to bring up, maybe you guys didn't get this, but the main actress lady looks straight up like Charlize Theron.
She does.
Like, especially from like the top down angle the whole time. I'm like, why isn't she in Mad Max right now? Just go, come on, Furiosa, get in the truck, you know, the war rig, whatever.
I mean, I think that anytime you watch a movie, you're looking for an excuse to be watching Mad Max.
It's very true.
Mad Max is
very true.
Fucking.
But we're not reviewing that. We're reviewing
this
one.
No, we're
not. How about we do it?
Yeah, so let's do it. I would love to hear from Dylan first.
Okay. This is an effective little movie, but like I said, it's not enjoyable. It's a grueling, depressing little movie. But that's what it sets out to do, and it's pretty damn successful at it. The first 10 minutes, it's useless. Devin's right about that. He's not right about not watching the rest of the movie.
Yeah,
what I guess we're assuming
that's bad.
Happened here. My apologies if you did, Devin. But I think that the it earns all that goodwill in the like second scene that we see with them. And from then on out, it just does its job admirably. There's some issues with the camera and whatnot, and issues with how static it feels. But if you're looking to just kind of get punched in the gut by a movie,
absolutely.
This is a good one. It's a gem.
I'm going to ride off the coattails there. This is like a gut punch of a movie. I the first time I watched this, just to set the scene, I was laying in bed and I was watching it from probably like 15 feet away on like a 12-inch monitor. terrible, terrible way to be watching this. And I remember liking, I remember thinking this movie was better than I expected. And going into this, I think I was the one to suggest this movie, and Devin was immediately saying how bad it was and whatever, and I was like, oh shit, maybe I recommended a stinker, which is never, it's always a little embarrassing.
Makes you feel sick.
It does. It makes you feel seasick. But that being said, this movie, I think it does hold up. It's very short. It's an hour and 20 minutes. I think we paused it so that Brandon could go pee at one point, and I was like, holy shit, the movie's over in 10 minutes. That's incredible. And it is about the right length.
Yeah, if it were any longer. Whew.
Right, there's only so much you could do with this this concept. But that being said, this concept is very good and it's very scary. And imagining yourself in this situation with a significant other or a friend or whatever, you can't help but put yourself in those shoes. And I think we did that many times while watching. We were like, what will we do in this situation? And it's hard to say. And that itself is scary. So for that reason, I'm going to give this movie a gem. I think it is worth watching. I think that maybe it is not the most... this movie is very mechanically good. It's not the most artistic film, but it doesn't necessarily need to be because it is effective at what it does. Bluester?
Yeah. I want to kind of ride off what Man said. And the entire time we watched this movie, and it's a credit to the movie, we were all asking each other, what would I do in the situation? How would I handle it? There was tons of times where throughout the movie there would be presented an out, and I would be like, I would have an opinion on how it should be done. Man would have an opinion, and Kels would have an opinion. And whenever you're doing that in a movie, a lot of times you have like a big, strong friend of yours. He's like, yeah, man, I would just punch my way out, and I would kill that guy, and I'd be alive today, you know, whatever. But in this situation, it's...
Doesn't matter. You're fucked.
Exactly. No one's right. No one's wrong. This movie is almost so realistic and so committed to its premise that it's almost to the detriment of the movie. There's times where I was a little wayward watching it, but at the end of the movie, I had to reflect and think, you know what? They stuck to their premise and they never fucking gave up on it. And that's a credit to the movie. As much as this movie was hard to watch and as painful as it was and as scary and stressful as it was, I have to say that they picked their premise and they stuck to it. And I wouldn't say this movie is entertaining. I don't think it's not funny. And at points, even actually bad at the beginning. But if you get into it, you're pretty much gripped the second they get onto the vacation spot. And up until the end of the movie, like Man said, nothing's changing, but you're constantly engaged in what they're talking about and what they're saying. And you're constantly thinking, okay, how are they going to get out? And these people feel so real. And so I have to, even if I didn't love this movie, I have to let you all watch it and kind of determine your opinion on it. I think it would be a disservice if you didn't watch this movie. So I think Open Waters, I think, is a gem. And I want to hear back from everybody what they think.
Yeah. It's on Netflix, too.
Yes, yeah.
It's a Netflix gem for sure.
Definitely.
I think that after all this, I think that this cast is really missing something. It's missing Devin's advocate. Like, we've gone through every review without an intense argument. We need Devin to come in here and tell us what's up.
He adds the friction, man.
First 2 minutes were terrible.
He did. He said he gives us a pretty major stinker. That's what his words are.
I don't think he watched it.
I don't think he did either.
Devin, fucking prove us wrong, dude.
I could see that. I mean, this movie, if you're watching it, isn't a fun watch.
If he's out of camp and he's watching on his fucking phone or whatever, I can absolutely see
totally,
it.
Totally.
I feel you, dude. But I think this movie does deserve your attention. It does deserve like a legitimate watch.
This is not a background watch. As much as you'd like it to be, it demands your attention.
It's one of the movies that to me is like almost a quintessential gem. Like, I don't know how I feel about it, but I think other people should watch
it. Right.
It's one of those things like I want to hear what other people think. And that's why when we finished it, we were talking about it a lot. Just the fact that we're thinking about it and discussing like, oh shit, if I was in a life-threatening situation, how would I react?
I would go fucking nuts.
I think that's effective. Myself.
I would just go face down and float my way home.
Well, Kels and I were both like, we'll just kill ourselves.
Yeah.
I think that is any like
normal
not
person.
Very strong person.
Yeah.
The movie beats you down, dude.
Oh,
if you're
yeah.
in that situation, yes. I'd be like, fuck it. At one point he has a knife, I'd just be like, fuck it, I'll just stab myself.
Yeah.
So another funny thing I thought I would bring up is that Devin, while he was at this camp, he started messaging us last night, and he said that he was actually in a situation where he saw a bear, and he wanted to switch Open Water to a different movie called Backwoods.
Which is like a day to go.
It's like a movie about a bear attack, similar to Open Water, but it's a bear, and I've heard it's great, and I really want to watch it. But we all thought that was kind of funny that he saw this bear and was so inspired that he thought we needed to watch.
So first he's on Lake Placid, we need to watch Lake Placid. Now he sees a bear, he needs to watch the bear. Next he's going to see an alien and we need to watch Alien 2.
Hey, I will be fucking
I'm
down
fine
with
that.
I mean, I'll fuck with that.
But that all being said, like, it got me thinking, what are some situations that you guys have maybe been in or imagined where an animal or some sort of greater force might be out to get you, and what would that be like?
Well, very real to this cast. Man was here when this happened to me, but I was on vacation many, many years ago in Alabama, and I was swimming, and I'm a terrible swimmer, okay? So any of these movies that deal with open water, I say, fuck them. I don't want to watch this because I hate being in the ocean, and I hate not knowing what's around me. And so it was like starting to be high tide, and it was like the moon was coming out, or it was starting to, the sun was setting. And so the waves started to pull me out in the water, and I literally couldn't swim past the current. And so, like, I'm just getting swept out into the sea, and man, he's just like, come on, dude, just swim a little harder, buddy. And I'm like, I fucking can't.
Are you trying?
We had boogie boards, and like, I was like trying to show him how to do it.
I'm really bad at swimming. And so, the whole time we're like going out to the ocean, I'm like, I'm going to just fucking die here on this beach. I can't swim back to the ocean. And like, it gets to a point where
this was the first day of the trip, by the way.
So your enemy
the first
was
hours of the trip.
Your enemy was the actual shallow, like to that. The shallow end.
I want to emphasize that I had multiple enemies. I had my own family that were just like yelling at me, and then the entire beach was getting alerted to my like my flight. And so like we became like the laughing stock of the entire beach. And so like I had the fear of the ocean from this point, and I just hate other humans because I was like, I can't get back to the ocean, and everyone's like yelling at me.
His mom started screaming. She was like, "Brandon, get back!"
Exactly.
And like, so at that point, the whole beach, and then like,
we're just staring at us.
This guy like swam out. He's like, what the fuck are you assholes doing? Your mom is screaming. Get back.
He thought I was just being a dick. I'm like, dude, I'm really not good at swimming.
So after the first day, we just never showed our faces.
We
again.
Never went outside again.
We stayed in the apartment and played fucking Doom 3 the entire
which
time.
Which was pretty raw. But
pretty good decision.
The point of that story is that like, it cemented my fear of the ocean and how like powerful it is, and also like the unknowing, but also other people, they're scary.
It's scary, man.
I mine is not nearly as dramatic as that, but like I have a severe phobia of one particular animal that showed up in two of these movies.
Oh no.
Jellyfish. I fucking hate
them.
Aren't
they freaky?
Because I was like when I was little, my parents took me to Belize, and I was on the beach. Yeah, it was really neat. I was on the beach. I was in like this tide pool or whatever. I'd walked out, you know, a good 15 feet or something. I was like, this is nice. And I looked down around me and coating the ground, except for like the area that I'd walked through, jellyfish everywhere.
Oh, no.
And I was like,
like, what am I going
to
do?
Yeah. So I had to like, I had to have my dad just wait out and get me.
I'm curious, Dylan, have you ever been stung by a jellyfish?
Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
It's horrible. Yeah.
Why didn't you just pee on it?
You just want me to like whip out my dick and piss so, everywhere.
Yes, please, Dylan.
A funny story there. One time I was at the beach, and one of my sisters got stung by a jellyfish. And there was this guy that I had brought along with me on the trip. And he was like, someone's got to pee on that. You got to pee on that. I'm like, dude, you're not going to pee on my sister. Like,
dude, don't pee on my sister.
That's
bro.
Disgusting. And plus, it's made up. That whole thing is made
doesn't
up. That's
work,
not
yeah.
real. And I just had the hardest time convincing him
he
that wasn't
just
real.
Really
I think
wanted
he wanted
to pee
to piss
on your sister.
On my sister. That's fucking
that was probably a fetish. It's
disgusting.
Dude, for those of you that don't know, getting stung by a jellyfish
it's
sucks.
Horrible.
Like, it's like this weird, when you first get it, it's almost like this weird kind of like numbing pain. And then it just like escalates into this horrendous, stinging, horrible burning. And you're just
I've never been stung. I think the closest is like I've stepped on like a sharp shell.
Dude, but every time I go to the beach, I get stung.
I've never gotten hurt at the beach.
Well,
other than
you.
A fucking sunburn.
Oh,
I've seen Brandon with like third degree sunburns, like literally like
pale
in
bastard.
The sheets. No, this is disgusting. It was like in the sheets. He like peeled off his sheet, and there was just like pus and bubbles on his back popping.
Yeah,
that was. I think that was the same year.
I'm a white
it?
Boy, dude. I have lots of trouble on the beach.
Oh,
I just
Lord.
Like coat myself now in like sunscreen. I don't even risk
yeah,
it.
Slippery boy.
Yeah, dude, I'm like just. It looks like someone just slathered me in Crisco. I'm just
speaking
like,
of
covered.
Slippery boys. I think you know what we're gonna slip on out of here.
Hey,
that's gonna
nice.
Be it for the night.
Smooth.
Thank you guys again so much for joining us once again. Follow us on all those social media. Check us out on Pokemon Go if you've been playing that. You can catch us in the wild.
Also, be sure to Twitter us and let us know what Pokemon you've caught.
Yeah, please do.
Any haunters out there? Any goosties? You know, yeah.
Goosties? Is
goosty
one of them?
Spookies.
It was
a combination
I'm
of
sorry,
ghosties
spooky.
And spookies.
Yeah,
hey, and you know what? What sound do spookies make? Because I think we're about to head out of here.
Existed since prehistoric times. It was worshipped by primitive cultures. It can kill a man with one crushing bite.
We heard a man was bit in half.
Any recent bear attacks?
Bears don't attack people underwater.
Probably a fever then. Probably a fever then.
Probably a fever then.